And welcome, everyone. This is Spectrum West, a new month, another holiday month. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday, all in the bag. This is Thursday, or Friday, if you're listening to our Friday evening replay, and we're proud to bring you you. That's what we're bringing you. That's what Spectrum West does. It's all about you, the people of Western Wisconsin who engage in or enjoy from time to time the arts and music that make up our rich culture. I'm Al Ross. I have the fun job of talking with you and those who bring us what we enjoy and then sharing the conversations. This week, we have some music for you and we have some theater. Jim Oliver's here with a look at the Menominee Theater Guild production of Miracle on 34th Street opening Friday evening at the Tainter in Menominee. And we'll look at the Theater in the Woods production of The Tree Lot, also opening Friday, that in Shell Lake. We'll be talking with Ed Willett. He plays the cello. Well, actually, play doesn't do it justice. He makes his cello sing and maybe even dance. We'll tell you about the group that he's part of and where they're playing. And Saturday night, the holiday season gets a kick in the butt from the Chippewa Valley Jazz Orchestra. These spirited musicians actually do that to a song, or a season for that matter. That's the butt kicking I was talking about. Jeff Peterson is a CVJO percussionist and one of the guys responsible for gathering these people to entertain us all. He stopped by a couple of days ago for a chat. The mission, Chippewa Valley Jazz Orchestra's mission, promote jazz music education and appreciation throughout Western Wisconsin by providing educational jazz experiences in a community big band setting. You guys noticeably use the word education twice in that mission statement. That represents an importance to me.
I hope so.
How do you educate?
Well, we do a lot of things. The first thing we try and do, and I think the most important thing, is to bring jazz music to people who are not typically jazz listeners. We need people to understand that jazz is the one true American music form. We want to do that by letting people hear the breadth and depth of jazz as it has been created over the last century or so in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so our goal is to cover a lot of ground and to let people hear just what a big band can actually do. At the same time, we are always trying to work with young people. You know, we do at least two concerts a year where we bring high school musicians on stage with us to perform, usually with guest artists, because in the end, jazz will only survive if young people endorse it and latch onto it. And so we need to make sure that they know what it is and why it's important.
There are a few things in life where I've always contended that if you were only exposed to them, you'd like it. Jazz is one of those things, even to young people.
I think that's absolutely true. I think the problem is that most of them are never exposed to it. Yeah. They never get a chance to hear it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the broader the audience we can create, the more people we can get involved, I think the better it is. Not just for the people who are listening, but, you know, long term preserving the essence of what jazz is in the United States. I think that's what we need to do.
There are two camps now when it comes to Christmas music, and that's our topic since your concert is Saturday. Those who don't want anyone to waver from the traditional way that they've always heard and loved their tunes, and those who implore musicians to do it differently because they get too large a dose of the traditional all season long. Those people would love the CVJO holiday concert, yes?
I think that's absolutely true. We have some fantastic arrangements of traditional holiday tunes. In some cases, very different from what people would expect, but they're still recognizable. Two great vocalists who are going to come work with us. Mm. Adrian Klenz is coming back to MC and sing with us. And then a wonderful young woman by the name of Shannon Kading. And the idea is to take traditional music like Greensleeves or Let It Snow and turn it into great big band music. And I think we've accomplished that.
The version of Let It Snow that we heard at the top of our conversation, and of which we'll hear more as we turn off the microphones, that is a great arrangement. Appears to be challenging for a drummer. That's close to your heart.
It is. Well, and it's a very challenging arrangement. It's done by an L.A. arranger by the name of Gordon Goodwin, who has really done a lot to bring big band music into the 21st century. He probably has right now the most popular big band in the United States, the Big Fat Band. And His arranging work is amazing. So yeah, we're doing that. We're also doing another one of his for this show. But yeah, it's fun. It's challenging. The Let It Snow has a real sort of kind of Count Basie-esque feel to it that mm-hmm. we really like. It's a great chart. It's one of our favorites.
You just used a word that I find myself associating more often with jazz, and that's fun. You were meaning the fact that the concert will be fun for the audience, but playing jazz is fun for the musician.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's always challenges, right? I mean, we don't want to play music that doesn't challenge us. We want to stretch our boundaries as well as stretching the boundaries of the audience. But if we're not having fun, there's really no point in doing it. So we're always looking for things that will provide that spark for the band and make us go, okay, that's really cool. That's a lot, you know, that's something I want to do again.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
That's great. We're enjoying a visit with Jeff Peterson, representing the Chippewa Valley Jazz Orchestra. Their holiday extravaganza concert is Saturday at the State Theater at 7:30 p.m. What's on the set list? Well, you've mentioned a couple.
There's quite a few tunes. We have a version of Greensleeves. We have a version of Let It Snow. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I think we dug up Santa Baby.
Oh, sure.
But a much better version than one people are used to, I suspect. I don't want to give everything away, though. I will say we're doing my favorite holiday chart. We have a great arrangement of the You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, which is a wonderful feature for our bass trombone player.
Cool.
So we'll be having fun with that. But no, it's songs that mostly people recognize. There's one or two that are a little offbeat, but still an enormous amount of fun to listen to.
Yeah.
And if you're not tapping your toes at some point during the show, then you're probably not able to hear the music.
How many years is this for a holiday show?
We try and do a holiday show most years. Last year we didn't because we had Wayne Bergeron in town as our guest artist. Mm. This will be, I believe, the fifth year that we've done a holiday show. And it's become a pretty consistent tradition for us. We're always looking for new music and new arrangements. You know, we don't want to keep playing the same holiday music over and over again.
Sure.
You know, we're always digging up new things or commissioning work. You know, last time we did a holiday show 2 years ago, someone did an arrangement of the Hallelujah Chorus for us, which was really cool. But yeah, no, it's become a tradition.
I have to look up the origin of the word extravaganza. It sounds like something that maybe a jazz musician may have made up.
There's a part of me that thinks it's like a P.T. Barnum kind of word.
Could be.
But I have no idea.
Let me know what you find out. We know what P.T. Barnum said about us.
He said a lot of things.
Yes, so. He did. But something about being born every minute, I think. Wasn't that the one? So you're kind of hinting that there will be surprises in the holiday concert.
I think directly hinting, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, that's the goal, right? We want people to hear things they haven't heard before, either songs they don't know or songs interpreted in a way that they haven't heard before.
Yeah.
Because that's a big part of what jazz is. Mm-hmm. Jazz has to move forward. Jazz has to progress and change. If it becomes stagnant, then it becomes uninteresting. Our job is to keep pushing boundaries as much as we can.
I don't think an album called Stagnant Jazz would sell very well.
No, I suspect it wouldn't, although Pure Moods is pretty close.
Ah. So. Let's slide into 2016. Next year's concerts in February and April, one featuring the first one, a pretty good female guitarist.
Oh, I'd say she's more than pretty good. Cheryl Bailey is an amazingly good guitar player out of New York. She's actually won several awards, a sort of upcoming new artist awards and, you know, things like that for her guitar playing. And she's also very big into jazz education. So we're really excited to have her come out. We haven't had a guitar player guest artist with the band. Mm. She very much evokes a sort of West Montgomery, Joe Pass kind of sound. So really, really good.
And the other in April, that's the Disco Leisure Suit Funky Party.
Absolutely.
That's becoming a signature for you guys.
Well, I hope so, and I hope you show up in your leisure suit. I'm expecting it.
Well, I'm still looking for the lime green one. I haven't heard from you. I know you were out there looking for me.
I'm trying. There is a shop in San Francisco that carries a lot of this stuff.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
I have to do is get there.
Yeah, because I bought my son a Ron Burgundy suit out there 1 year for Halloween. So.
And that's good.
But yeah, no, the 70s show is going to be great. We're going to bring out all the great funk and soul and big band music. I mean, because there's great big band music that comes out in the 70s as well. You know, Buddy Rich Church Band. Mel Lewis is doing some great stuff. But we're also going to bring in, you know, Tower of Power and all sorts, all that kind of fun funk stuff, and just have a blast with it. And we will be having a costume contest. So the audience member who looks the most like they never got out of the 70s will win season tickets for the next year.
There are some actual people.
There are.
That never did get out of the
70s. There may be one or two of them actually in my band.
Should try to find We won't name any names.
No, of course not.
You know, in doing research about the 70s, I found out that the first email was sent in 1971.
Yeah, it was part of DARPANET, wouldn't it?
The first email. What the heck? How come email, you know, exploded so much back in the late 90s?
Because it was no longer just controlled by the military?
Because I think the first, was that it?
Yeah, I think the first emails were sent between scientific research groups within that were working for the Defense Department, if I remember correctly.
But we weren't talking about email in the 70s.
No, it was classified.
That's true.
So,
but I don't remember much about the 70s. So
well, that makes two of us.
Shows I had a real good decade.
Yeah, apparently.
Now, you have a 3 remaining concert package deal. The concert is a day or two away. Can you still get that package?
Absolutely, yes. We have a package deal. If you buy tickets to 3 of our shows, you get a 15% discount on the tickets. So if people pick up their tickets for this show and the remaining 2, they can still get the discount for the year. Absolutely.
There you go. And where do they do that?
Online through the State Theater's website, the eauclairearts.com, or they can call the box office at the State Theater, and they can arrange it for you there as well.
All right. It's called the Chippewa Valley Jazz Orchestra, affectionately known as CVJO. Jeff Peterson, thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you.
There's a bit of that Let It Snow arrangement that Jeff was talking about. Let's listen. Wow, that's good stuff. To complete the ticket information that you need for CVJO, the number of the box office at the State Theater is 832-ARTS. By the way, I promised I'd look up extravaganza. It's from the Italian word, stravaganza, or S. stravaganza, meaning, go figure, extravagance. This is Spectrum West. Support for WPR comes from Luther College. At Luther, students can choose among dozens of study-away programs dedicated to enhancing their worldview and gaining first-hand experience with global issues and ideas. More at luther.edu. Support also comes from Simply Done, home of Dunn County Pottery, presenting a holiday open house the first 2 weekends of December with new wood-fired pottery gifts and refreshments. More at simply-dunn.com. Support also comes from the Chippewa Valley Symphony. Singer-songwriter Anna Johnson joins the symphony for its holiday celebration concert, 7:30 Saturday night, December 12th, in Eau Claire State Theater. Tickets at cvsymphony.org. Theater in the Woods actually isn't in any woods, but the community of Shell Lake is surrounded, as are many northwest Wisconsin towns, by woods. So the name fits. What else fits are the people involved, as in Carolyn Burnett. She's one of the organizers and maintainers of its mission, and every now and then is coaxed into directing. She's doing that now with a play called The Tree Lot. It opens Friday. Now, if Carolyn Burnett isn't originally from Birchwood, Wisconsin, where she lives, how did she land there? Or, if Carolyn Burnett is from Birchwood, Wisconsin, how did she get to become what they're calling a veteran in Western Wisconsin show business? Expressly Theater in the Woods. What do you say we find out?
A story to go into is how I got to northwestern Wisconsin. Originally from West Texas, Queen City of the South Plains, Brownfield. So how I got into Theater in the Woods, the founding members had decided there needed to be a community theater in the area of Spooner. They finally said, well, let's just do it. They picked a play. They found a venue. They scheduled tryouts. And then they desperately were searching for a director.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine that I was in a food club with called and said, Carolyn, you've directed before, haven't you? I said, well, yes, but, you know, I have two jobs, and one of them's out of state, and blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
But ended up directing that play, and so that's what makes me a veteran of Theater in the Woods.
Were you theatrical when you were in Texas?
No, this was even more remote than where I live now, but there wasn't a lot of theater there. But in college, I stumbled into the little theater that we had and felt like I was at home. So I eventually got a master's in technical theater and taught at a couple of three different college university sites, and then did a lot of other things and ended up here thinking that I wasn't doing any more theater until I got the phone call.
So have you been on most sides of the theater, both on stage and director?
Only back in college. I am not an actor by any means.
Let's talk about The Tree Lot, which is what's coming up in your directing. It was penned by a couple of northern Wisconsinites. Tell us about Jan Lee and Tom Mitchell, if you can. Are they acquaintances of yours?
Jan has been a friend now for quite a while, and I met Tom because I did take an acting class from Jan several years ago to try to get a better feel for directing from an actor's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Jan is the founding director, artistic director, and designer of Stage North in Washburn, Wisconsin. She was there for, I think, about 10 years maybe. She freelances now and has just recently directed Company by Sondheim for a community theater called the Groundlings, which are leasing the building of Stage North. She and I have known each other for many years, and she had told me about The Tree Lot. I didn't get to see it in production, the original Stage North, several years ago. But she kept saying, you know, Carolyn, it's a nice place, because our theaters are very similar to one another. And we have an actor in Roger Sweeney who typically directs the holiday season play. But this year I said, you know, if you will play Joe, the Tree Lot guy, I will direct, because the part was sort of made for him. It's a lovely play, lovely play.
It appears, Carolyn, that Joe's Tree Lot is more than what people expect from a place to buy holiday greenery. What can you divulge as a preview and tantalize us with some appetizers without giving everything away?
I think the play is about a lot more than just Christmas trees or Christmas even itself. Something happens to people when they visit Joe's Tree Lot on this particular Christmas Eve. Connections are made that were not existent before. Connections are repaired when a couple is tending to lose sight of what they have with one another. Mother-daughter connections heal a bit, etc. So it's really about human relations and how we connect with one another and how important that is and how important it is to keep traditions alive. I think there's a certain magical quality about Joe that's very, very understated and can very easily be ignored, but I really believe it's there.
Mm-hmm. So there's a warmth, holiday warmth to this play?
Absolutely. Good word.
We're on the phone with Carolyn Burnett, and the phone line makes it sound as if she's in a barbershop. She's director of The Tree Lot from Theater in the Woods in Shell Lake. It opens Friday at the Erica Kwan Memorial Theater. Runs December 4th through the 13th. Just so that people can get a feel for the commitment that's necessary to tackle directing a play, talk about when the process for this play began. Auditions, and then you move into readings and rehearsals, technical huddles, etc. All the stuff that goes into directing a play. Make people feel sorry for you.
Well, I think they probably need to feel sorry for the actors equally, but this one was different. As I say, I typically do not direct during this season because I have family tradition of visiting. First it was my parents, now it's my brother, over Thanksgiving week. And I knew if I took this on, that was going to be difficult to do, and it turned out to be impossible. I really had to stay home and tie up loose ends I probably could have tied up a little sooner. And I was gone the month of October. So we had auditions back in September and a read-through, and then first one person and then another discovered, oh, mercy, we do have conflicts. So there was some recasting that had to be done. And in that process, I will say, we turned up some new people that for our stage that are doing a fabulous job and have remarkable presence on stage. So I'm very happy about the cast. We've rehearsed a couple of nights a week, and rehearsals are not long because two things. This is a short play. It only runs about an hour 15 without intermission, and it's comprised of short scenes. So people can rehearse their scene and then get on with whatever else they need to be doing that evening without having to spend 2 or 3 hours waiting until, okay, now I'm on again. Now I've got some time. Now I'm on again. You know, they can rehearse their scene pretty thoroughly in isolation from the rest of the play. And then the beginning and the end, everybody's together. Mm. So we do get a cohesive unit for the whole, which is good.
Yeah, kind of nice when you can trust the players to do a lot on their own.
Everybody has a day job or at least some other form of life than coming to rehearsal. So we have to work around that. That's part of the territory of community theater.
Yeah. I have a feeling that those living in points east and south of where we live, specifically in the larger cities that boast big venues and vast pools of talent from which to draw, might be surprised at how creatively engaged are the people of Northwest Wisconsin. How important is theater where you are?
I think it's vital. I think that's proven by the number of community groups who strive to keep theater alive and well. I think the fact that these groups exist, and some have existed longer than us, we're in our 26th season, which is pretty amazing. The fact that they exist just proves that it's a need that we have for good storytelling done well live in front of us.
So now, in addition to the play, you have some pre-curtain amenities attached to your performances of the Tree Lot. Might we have those details?
Right. The reason I'm doing that is, as I say, it's a short play. It runs without intermission, no more than an hour and a quarter. And really, to feel like you've gotten your money's worth and also for the effort of coming out, it needs to be a two-hour evening, I think, to feel complete. And so I called on three musical artists to give us a little sort of warm-up feeling for the season and the evening, and then we'll have an intermission before the play starts. Opening night and closing afternoon, Kevin McMullen will be doing his troubadour thing. I'm not sure exactly what he has in mind. On the 11th and 12th, Rose Bauman, who has been on stage here at Theater in the Woods and also up north quite a bit, beautiful voice. And then on the 5th will be Tam Smith, at the piano. Those people in the Spooner Shelleck area know that she's a phenomenal musical artist and loads of fun. And this is all at 7:30, and that's our typical starting time for a play. So this is not like something people will wander in the midst of.
Oh, okay.
This is actually part of the formal evening's entertainment. I'm looking forward to it. I love all three of these artists, and I think they'll warm the crowd.
Oh, yeah. It's a good hors d'oeuvre, good way to...
Yes,
good,
I like that. I like that term.
Good way to get people going. Carolyn Burnett, very nice to talk with you again. Always nice to hear about the active and enthusiastic crowd up there in Shell Lake and surrounding area. Break a leg on the show, and happy holidays.
Well, thank you. We appreciate Spectrum West
a lot. Oh, it's fun. It's fun to do. It's fun hanging out with people like you.
Thanks. Thank you again.
By the way, tickets for the run of The Tree Lot are available online at titw.org or by phone at 715-468-4387. Affordable, dependable, enjoyable. Theater in the Woods, Shell Lake, Wisconsin. You're listening to Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross. So nice to have you along. We appreciate your being here with us. The Chippewa Valley Museum is going to hold a holiday harp concert and open house at the Schlegelmilch House near downtown Eau Claire. That's this Sunday, and it's from 2 to 5 p.m. This week, of the many productions happening at venues up, down, and across western Wisconsin, we're featuring a couple, just had one. Jim Oliver's here with the other. And it's happening in Menominee.
Miracle on 34th Street, a play based on a 1947 movie, will open Friday at the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts in Menominee. Joining us to talk about the Menominee Theater Guild production is the director, Bob Butterfield. Welcome to Spectrum West.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, theater companies have traditionally had trouble finding an appropriate play for the Christmas season. So what drew the Menominee Theater Guild to Miracle on 34th Street?
Well, last year we also did a holiday classic based on a movie, It's a Wonderful Life, which I had the opportunity to act in. And when we were looking for a show this year, we decided that we'd stay with the theme and chose Miracle on 34th Street.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a process do you go through at the Theater Guild to select your season?
Sure. We have a play reading subcommittee that reads scripts pretty much all year round. They narrow it down, winnow it down to a few selections and bring it to the board of directors. Mm-hmm. We vote on it as a board and choose the final playbill, which we then announce at our annual meeting, in usually the end of May.
Well, based on the title, Miracle on 34th Street, one might be led to believe that this is a fantasy. Is that an accurate assessment, or is it more straightforward than that?
Well, it leaves some room for you to define that yourself. The miracle is really kind of all in view of what the child, the main character, Susan, sees as a little girl who's very disbelieving in anyone or anybody. Her mother has had a divorce. They're a little reticent about any kind of contact with human beings and trusting anyone other than themselves. And they being Susan and her mother Doris, meet a gentleman who calls himself Kris Kringle. Mm-hmm. And believes himself to actually be Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. So the premise of the play revolves around whether or not Chris is not just a Santa, but the Santa.
I was just wondering, does this encourage children's belief in Santa Claus?
I think that the most important line of the play says, faith is believing in something when common sense tells you not to. Mm-hmm. And it's really more about believing in yourself and others and being able to open your mind and your heart to the goodness around you. And yes, Santa is a theme, but really it still leaves it to the audience on whether or not they believe in Santa Claus or whether they just believe in Chris as just a good person and a good influence on Susan.
Is there a religious component to the story at all? It is Christmas, after all.
This is more of a secular story. Mm-hmm. Not near as much of a religious connotation as, for instance, when we did It's a Wonderful Life last year. Mm-hmm. An angel is a key character in that story. Mm-hmm. This one is very much about commercialism and Santa Claus, and there is a belief element, but it's more of a general belief than any kind of particular religious bent to it. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a huge cast, so who would you call the principal actors in the show?
Principal actors, I would say there are four of them. The mother, Doris Walker, played by Rachel Kelm. She's a second-grade teacher in Menominee. Mm-hmm. And then her potential love interest, Fred Gailey, who is played by a young man who is attending Menominee High School. His name is Eli Zeck. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the two main characters are Kris Kringle, played by John Hazen, a Methodist pastor. Mm-hmm. Then our Susan, who is in the third grade at Menominee, and her name is Raylynn Renfrey Weiss. And she's just a dynamite little actress. People are going to just absolutely love to see her perform.
He is Bob Butterfield, who is director of the Menominee Theater Guild production of Miracle on 34th Street. Well, talk a little bit about your tech crew. You have stage managers or whatever you call stage managers around here, set designers, all of that stuff.
There's a lot of board involvement in the show this time. My set was created by Steve Rosas, who is a MD in Menominee. My co-director, Bob Colson, he's also helping with lights and has been a light chair for the Theater Guild for many number of years. I couldn't have done this without him. He's been my right hand through this all, wrangling over 50 cast members. It would have been a tall task for one person to do. And then we'll be tag teaming on sound, Bob and I. And then we've had some help with publicity through Josie Salzman and our volunteer coordinator, Leanne Talberg.
Now, you also act in the play, as do some of your other family members.
That is true. I am acting in a number of roles. I'm going to be the drunken Santa, the Santa who gets fired from the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade so that Chris can take over. I'm also going to be a mailman in the mail distribution center. And with this size, there's so many roles in this, it was almost necessary for both myself and the co-director to have some kind of small role too. And yes, this is the first time that I'm getting to perform in a show with my family. My wife, Colleen, and my daughter, Lindsay, who's 12, and my son, Nathaniel, who's 2, are all involved in the show. We only regret that our oldest son, who's now off at college at Stevens Point, wasn't able to perform with us. So
he didn't want to commute back from
He seemed to be a little hesitant.
Well, that's too bad. Let's talk about your theater background a little bit. According to what you told me, this is your 11th show with the Theater Guild.
It is. I've been a member of the board. This is the second time I've been a member of the board with Menominee Theater Guild, and I've been in a host of shows over the last decade. I try to only do one a year. Once in a while, someone will put out a red flag and need some help, and I've done a couple of shows in a year a couple of times, but for keeping peace on the home front, try to keep it to one show a year.
Yeah, those pleading phone calls are hard to resist, aren't
they? They are indeed.
How many times have you directed a show?
This is the third time that I've directed.
What else have you directed?
I directed a show, Holiday Memories, it was called, based on some Truman Capote short stories. And I also directed 12 Angry Men about 3 or 4 years ago.
So what got you started originally? You said, 2005, you were either acting and directing with the Theater Guild. What caused you to catch this theater habit?
That's what it is, too, is a habit. I had been in some drama productions in high school and then took a 20-year break and just decided that maybe it was a interesting idea to try out for a play. When auditions came around, I tried to talk myself out of it. And my then my oldest son then, who was about 6 or 7 at the time, said, "Well, you know, Dad, if you say you're going to do something, you really should follow through." And that pressure caused me to go to auditions. I got the lead role in the play Death Trap. So I went from trying to talk myself out of it to having to memorize over 300 lines. Then I've had the bug ever since. To be able to perform at the Mabel Tainer Theater is just an actor's dream. I don't know if I would want to perform anywhere else now that I've been spoiled over the last decade. But it certainly is fun, and I think my whole family has got the bug now.
If someone thought maybe they had the bug and thought maybe they'd like to get involved with the Menominee Theater Guild, how would they go about doing that?
Well, we certainly try to announce our auditions far enough in advance so everybody can plan for that. Menominee Theater Guild has a wonderful presence on Facebook, and there's a good place to keep track of us. Also, being a member of the Guild and having your email with us, there's a lot of opportunities to volunteer, not only to act, but to help build sets or some of those things that people who don't necessarily like to get out in front of people like to do. So there are a lot of opportunities. And then you can also contact any of the board members, and we'd be more than happy to help you get set up. We have some auditions coming up very soon, the first part of December. I believe it's the 8th and 9th for Guys and Dolls. So we'll need another big cast.
Oh, that is a huge one again, isn't it? Well, we've been talking to Bob Butterfield, who's director of the Menominee Theater Guild production of Miracle on 34th Street. The play runs Friday through Sunday and the following Friday through Sunday at the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts in Menominee. For ticket information, go to MenomineeTheaterGuild.com. Bob, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.
Mr. Jim Oliver. This is Spectrum West. Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Luther College, where students can partner with faculty on challenging research that often results in publishing papers together and presenting at conferences. Visit information at luther.edu. Support also comes from Simply Done, home of Dunn County Pottery, presenting a holiday open house the first 2 weekends of December with new wood-fired pottery gifts and refreshments. More at simply-dunn.com.
Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
There's more holiday music on the horizon. Let's focus on a collection coming from the instruments and voices known as EIRA. That's E-I-R-A. It's Welsh. It stands for snow. Five notable musicians, fresh from successful affiliation with separate groups, joining forces for several holiday concerts. Saturday in Ashland, Sunday afternoon in Barron, plus a couple more. Ed Willett is the very talented cellist who also contributes proficiency on other instruments and vocally on occasion. We called High Bridge, Wisconsin, and he answered. We'll get to your upcoming appearances in a minute. Let's talk about the life of a musician, because out of necessity, it can have the qualities of attention deficit disorder sometimes. I mean, you're prolific in your love of music. How many musical projects have you been engaged in? Let's just pick maybe the last year.
In the last year, well, there's classical music projects that mm-hmm. I still do. I play with a violinist down in Milwaukee, from the symphony down there, and it was an old friend of mine who grew up in Oshkosh, and when I came back from Los Angeles to the area, he hooked me up with work. So we're working on some recording of his original. I don't know, it's neoclassical, it's in the classical style. So that's one thing, and then Cheryl and I have been working really full-time on this National Parks Tour, a show that we created featuring our original music and then some traditional Scottish music and the writings of John Muir. 2016 is the centennial year, so that's kind of overtaken our focus for a while. But we started it back in 2014, and we went to Scotland in the spring. We did a tour in Scotland with this show called John Muir, University of the Wilderness. Lately, that's been a lot until this... Well, no, that's not true. I've been playing with the Big Top Chautauqua.
See what I mean?
Corey Carlson is a songwriter. Yeah, lots of things.
Yeah,
probably
good.
5-6 projects this year.
I knew that. I didn't want you to have to rack your brain too vociferously. You play things with strings, guitar, cello, maybe more than I'm not aware of. You have a very nice singing voice as well. I'm going to guess that you're classically trained on the cello. As you just alluded to the fact that you still play. Symphony cellist over the years?
Yeah, that's what I trained to do. I went to a school out in Los Angeles, University of Southern California, and I went there because they had a cellist. She was the assistant to Gregor Piatigorsky, who was of the 20th century, one of the handful of cellists that everybody patterned themselves after, myself included. So finding the source of that information, the closest I could get, because he was passed away, was his assistant. And it was a regular conservatory thing, and trained to be an orchestral musician, and got a job in the Honolulu Symphony on my first audition, and then realized that's not exactly going to do it for me. So I was one of those college kids who trained for one thing and then got the job and went, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. So I came back to L.A. and did more studio work for a while and started then playing in bands and writing a lot of music. And then I met my wife, Cheryl, and we've been making music together ever since.
Yeah, but if you're going to be in a symphony, Hawaii is the place to be.
I know. Right? Well, that's what I thought. I thought, if I'm getting a bad attitude in the Honolulu Symphony, what's it going to be like in Pittsburgh, you know?
Gee, that's not like when you're not playing with the orchestra, what am I going to do?
God, I was into windsurfing big time at that point. I, we come from California and learned that, and it was a big passion. In fact, I lived on a bay just for the windsurfing and commuted to work in my flip-flops. Yeah, it was a great gig, but it wasn't charging me. I wasn't feeling energized by it.
Is the holiday ensemble EIRA? You have at least a couple gigs coming up, Saturday in Ashland, Sunday in Barron. It's been said you are all, here's the quote, like-minded musicians, unquote. Tell us about the group.
My partner, Cheryl, and wife have known Jim Austin and Sue Spencer, a couple of the collaborators, for about 20 years. And we really like making music together. Their specialty has always been Celtic music. And so when Cheryl and I put together this show on John Muir, because he's Scottish, we started delving in several years ago to more Celtic music, just to fulfill this show that we were working on. And so when we worked this up, we decided that we'd put this together with our good friends and see what we could put together. And they had this really great Christmas show for years that they did in their former band called Willow Green in the Duluth area. And I had played with them for a while as well. And the show was really masterfully put together. So I had the idea to borrow some of that repertoire, a little bit of the repertoire that I co-created with the Blue Canvas Orchestra for our former Christmas show, and then add a third all new things. And so that's what we did. And we joined forces with violinist and vocalist Lisa Wilson. She's a very interesting player. She comes from classical music, but she concentrates mostly on Celtic music now, and she's a linguist as well as a singer. She's singing in Russian and Scots Gaelic, and so it's giving it a sort of an international flair to holiday music. So we have a blast hanging out and playing together. And after a lifetime of doing this, I find myself leaning towards wanting to make sure that I enjoy the whole process.
The group consists of vocals, cello, violin, whistle, recorder, accordion, rhythm sections, and the Erhu?
Yeah, is pronounced Erhu. I didn't know this at all.
Erhu?
It's a Chinese instrument. Yeah. And Lisa, her major, she had a couple of majors. Besides music, it was Chinese literature at UW-Madison. So she plays this. It's a two-stringed instrument, and you've heard it on movies many, many times.
Yes.
She's really masterful at it.
I had to look it up. It's sometimes called the spike fiddle, the southern fiddle, the Chinese violin.
Ah, really? I didn't even know that.
And the skin is python skin.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's
I don't
a dangerous
mind.
Instrument.
Talking with Ed Willett, the group is ERA, and they're together for holiday concerts. Two that we know of, Saturday in Ashland, Sunday afternoon at the Barron Area Community Center. That's at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, we have a couple more.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and Bemidji and Duluth as well. Duluth is December 20th, and Bemidji is December 12th.
Now, as we've discussed, you've played so many different kinds of music. Is there one genre that gets you more revved up than any other? Anyone that seems to fit you more like a glove than others?
Yeah, that's a good question. I tend to like, it's odd that I'm a cello player, but I really like rhythm and blues and funk music.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So I'm not doing any of that right now.
But you tackle it as a cellist.
Oh, yeah. I've been working on it for a long time. It's a very interesting time to be what they call an alt cellist. You know, it just means you know, non-classical, playing non-classical.
Do you own one of those real odd-looking electronic cellos?
I have a version of that. It's not one of the new ones, but I have I have an electric cello. But they haven't quite got that down. I still prefer my acoustic cello amplified, you know.
Okay.
But it's a great time for that kind of thing because YouTube has brought us all together, you know,
Far
as seeing people's projects. And there's a whole new generation of cellists who trained classically but then split off into other genres early on. And you just, it's all, as you know, it's all over recording. Cellists doing wild things, you know.
Many accomplished cellists I've spoken with, Paul Kossower, the most recent, they love to talk about their instrument. I mean, his is from the 1700s. What kind of instrument do you have?
I have something that's about 20 years old, and it's funny to me because my sister and brother-in-law have a violin shop in Madison, so I've always been well-equipped with the instruments, and the first one they got me was a 1806 Viennese instrument, and it was a great instrument, but I played at the big top under a tent at night, and on the road constantly, and so the thing just kept getting little cracks and weather things happening to it, and they said, you know what, here's a 20-year-old cello. It's really great, and you can do what you do, you know. And the one that I had before had probably 100 repairs in it, you know, over the years. So it's a, you better be related to the violin repair shop. It's really fun to go into a shop and play the instruments.
Yeah.
I used to love to do that in L.A. When I was going to school, I would look at bows one day and go in and try out 30 different bows.
Mm-hmm.
Every bow changes the sound of the instrument. When you're picking one, it's like getting married, you know. You want to do it once if you can.
Interesting, too, that sometimes bows can be more valuable than the instrument.
Yeah, I know. I just saw this advertisement for a French bow, and it was going for $42,000.
Mm.
So there I got was... two of them.
There was, yeah, there you are. Yeah. Ed Willett, always a pleasure. Thanks. Good luck with ERA. And please keep in touch with us here at Spectrum West. It's always delightful to talk to you.
Oh, I will. Thanks a lot.
Ed Willett. Now, if you recall the intro, I said he's a very talented cellist. See if you agree. Ed Willett. Take a break, Ed. I think that was the Russian Dance, and that was with the Blue Canvas Orchestra guys. Ed Willett, who along with partner Cheryl Leah and friends, takes the stage as ERA. If you want to drive up to Ashland, it's Saturday at the Northern Great Lakes Visitor Center, 2 p.m. And if Barron is closer, then Sunday's your day, same time, 2 p.m. at the Barron Area Community Center. The website is thebacc.com. Well, in addition to the two plays featured on this week's program, Jim Oliver's back with more of what's on stage in Western Wisconsin. Here he is.
Thank you, Al. The Chippewa Valley Theater Guild will present a holiday doubleheader with a Charlie Brown Christmas, and 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, Friday through Sunday, and next Friday through Sunday at the Grand Theater in Eau Claire. The Eau Claire Children's Theater will present Jingle Arr the Way, that's about pirates, by the way, Friday through Sunday at the Oxford Theater. A 1940s radio Christmas carol will play Friday and Saturday at the St. Croix Off-Broadway Dinner Theater in Hudson. The show will continue Fridays and Saturdays and some Thursdays through January the 2nd. A Christmas carol will be performed through Sunday at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. The show will continue weekends through December 27th. The River Falls Community Theater will present It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio play, Friday and Saturday, and next Friday and Saturday at the River Falls Public Library. In the Next Room, or the Vibrator Play, will be staged next Tuesday through Saturday by the Department of Music and Theater Arts of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire in the Cure Theater on campus. The Northern Star Theater of Rice Lake will present A Laura Ingalls Wilder Christmas next Wednesday through Sunday. The Eau Claire Children's Theater will hold auditions at 5:30 p.m. Sunday and Monday for Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Auditions for Luck Be a Murder Tonight will be held at 7 p.m. Sunday and Monday at the Children's Theater. The Barron Spotlighters have scheduled auditions for the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, for 1 to 4 p.m. Saturday at the Barron Area Community Center. Auditions for students in grades 10 to 12 for the Phipps Children's Theater production of the musical Shrek Jr. will be held from 1 to 4 p.m. Saturday and from 4 to 7 p.m. Sunday at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. Well, whether you want to see some live theater or take the next step and audition for a role, there are plenty of opportunities this Christmas season around the region. For Spectrum West, I'm Jim Oliver.
As you might guess, being the holiday season, lots of Spectrum memoranda. Tonight, Thursday, there's a Christmas Carol sing-along, 6:30 at the Heidi Center in Chippewa Falls. Saturday, the Heidi hosts the North Winds British Brass Band's Christmas Concert, beginning at 2 p.m. Dr. Jerry Young, UW-Eau Claire Professor Emeritus, so gifted on the tuba and euphonium, is this year's soloist. Next Thursday, December 10th, Christmas Craft Fair at the Heidi, beginning at 10 a.m., and a holiday tea at 2. CVCA.net is the Heidi Center's website. Remember, the Big River Radio Wave live holiday show is Saturday evening in Alma at the Big River Theater. Couple of shows, so you can take your pick, 6 p.m. or 8 p.m. I hear Santa's going to make an appearance there. Next Wednesday, December 9th, it's Trey Brion, an evening of ballet and chamber music featuring young dancers from the Eau Claire School of Dance and the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra. I have the honor of hosting that evening and look forward to seeing you at Florian Gardens. Tickets include dinner, silent art auction, original ballet. There's also a cash bar. Otherwise, I wouldn't be going. Reservations are requested by tomorrow, Friday, December 4th. The Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra website, I believe. The Artist Series at UW-Eau Claire presents A Celtic Christmas, Tuesday, December 8th, 7:30 p.m. in Schofield Auditorium. Thanks to Hannah Severson for spreading the word, not the bug. One Debbie did Dallas, but our Debbie does double duty, and it's appreciated. And Dean sits atop our totem pole, but never looks down on us. Thanks to all. Next week, we're going to tour China, or at least imagine it for now and find out how to do it for real. We'll improvise about an annual planned event and more, always more, on Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross. Good to be with you. See you next week.